This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Power. Hour. LSU. Boom!
All night long. Yes.
Let's freaking go. So the big chatter about the NFL draft has not really been what Malik Nabers did at Pro Day. It really hasn't been what Brian Thomas Jr. has done over the last couple of weeks. It's not even have anything to do with how Jaden Daniels actually threw the football. It's a viral photo of Jaden Daniels' elbow. I think you guys have seen it. It's the thumbnail of the video today. And I got to be honest, it is probably one of the more bizarre things I've seen. But this is what I would always say about Jaden Daniels. And this was the case before we even knew he became a transcendent NFL draft quarterback, a transcendent college player, winning one of the more historic statistical Heisman trophies we can ever remember. He's unorthodox. He is not your average quarterback. We have never really seen somebody like him. And you'll see his elbow is all over the place. And there is this Twitter doctor named Jesse Morse who says this is an inflammation of the bursa, which is a sac that is usually empty and is there to protect the bone underneath. We have them in several joints, including the elbow and knee. So a lot of people kind of freaked out about this. Is this a situation where they don't want to draft Jaden Daniels at all? Because you're worried about durability issues. I just got to be honest, Dan. Your common concept of the quarterback position does not apply to Jaden Daniels. There has never been a quarterback at LSU that is like this guy. I'm not going to tell you he's the best quarterback. I still believe that's Joe Burrow. It's where I'm wearing. I'm wearing my Heisman Trophy shirt with both of them on it. It's one of my favorite shirts. But Jaden is so great, and he's so unorthodox at the same time. He's a bony guy, but he's not really a bony guy anymore. He's thick. He weighed in at 210. So I keep hearing, well, Jaden Daniels is too thin to play quarterback in the NFL. Then why has he never been hurt before? They didn't say that about Anthony Richardson, who has already been hurt in his first season and was very much hurt throughout his Florida Gators career. They didn't say it about him just because he's 220. But Jaden Daniels has put on weight. That was clearly the case last season. And it didn't cost him any speed, and it obviously made him a better all-around quarterback. I'm tired of hearing about the durability stuff with Jaden Daniels. Oh, his elbow looks weird. Oh, he doesn't always slide. Oh, he doesn't process as fast as Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson or whoever. He's different. They said that there was all this stuff about Lamar Jackson when Lamar Jackson was coming out. He's unorthodox. I don't quite understand it. And if you are a dynasty fantasy football player, Jaden Daniels should be your number one overall pick. He should be your number one overall pick. Because he's got that Konami code. He's got that rushing ability. But if you're an NFL team, he should also be your number one overall pick. And it's not because another quarterback in this draft paints his nails or wears lip gloss. I don't really care about that. And it's not because there's another quarterback by the name of Drake May who can make all the throws, but at the same time hasn't been nearly as productive as Jaden Daniels. I think Caleb Williams and Drake May are fantastic college quarterbacks. And I probably would have taken both of them before C.J. Stroud or even Bryce Young. And I love Bryce Young coming out of college. The truth is Jaden Daniels is better than all of them. And I believe it. I really do believe it. We did a show yesterday where I don't always sign off on LSU players when it comes to their NFL draft ability. But I really do think Jaden Daniels could play at the NFL level. Whether or not his elbow looks like a jagged edge, is a jagged edge. It's an elbow that I've never seen before. But I'm telling you right now, the dude is special. He is a special human. He is someone that's been through a lot of personal tragedies, and he still ended up being one of the best college quarterbacks ever. We get our first Super Chat of the evening. We say hi to Tony. We say hi to LA Bomb. We say hi to Brian. A lot of our PHL legends here tonight. We had to push the live stream to 5 p.m. because LSU Baseball and Arkansas are playing tonight at 6 p.m. Central. And we don't know how long this game is going to go. I feel like tonight's game is going to be legendary. Arkansas Baseball has this pitcher by the name of Hagen Smith. They're calling him the Paul Skeens of this year, the number one pitcher in college baseball. Our bats are not doing well. Hopefully, we're able to get it done. Let's go to Tony here. Jaden improved so much during his last 2 years. Maybe the Saints will pick him up. Yeah, Tony, that's not going to happen. Look, it is good to have you back, Tony. I really appreciate you. And because you did Super Chat, I want to show some love to you. Okay? Or actually, I think I did just send you a card. I'll send you another one. Why not? Don't forget, if I get a hundo Super Chat tonight, if we get it, I'm sending out this autograph Paul Manieri baseball helmet to you. It's a mini helmet, so it's not a big bulky helmet. It's something that could sit on your desk. So there you go. But Tony says, yeah, crazier things have happened. Maybe the Saints can trade up, but that's not going to happen. Washington needs a quarterback. The Patriots need a quarterback. Minnesota needs a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. So if it even got to that point, all those teams would need to pass on QBs. And that's just not going to happen with Jaden Daniels being this type of prospect. I think when it comes to sliding down, I could see Malik slide some. And by some, I mean not taken in the top five, but taken like 7 or 8. So I could see that happen. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a lock to go in the top 20 and probably a lock to go in the top 15. That does concern me some. I would have loved to seen him be a back-end first-round guy so he can go to a better team. But that's where we are right now. I think the likelihood when it comes to the Saints getting a quarterback, Tony, more than likely, that's going to be either Bo Nix or Michael Penix. And I know that doesn't excite you. I get it. I think if J.J. McCarthy somehow slid down to the Saints, they should take him. That's probably not going to happen. I've read different rumors. Daniel Jeremiah believes the first four picks in the NFL draft will all be quarterbacks. But as far as the Saints are concerned, Brock Bowers would be a very good pick for them. If for some reason, I know this would piss a lot of you off, if Dallas Turner fell to the Saints, I could see that happen. I'm seeing Dallas Turner go to the Atlanta Falcons in a lot of mock drafts. I actually did a mock draft on my NFL channel, and I picked Dallas Turner to go to the Falcons. So Dallas Turner is already like the most hated Alabama player ever, probably. He could be even more hated if he went to the Falcons. And of course, for those who don't remember, Dallas Turner is the same guy who knocked Jaden Daniels out and had two personal foul penalties the year before, and quite frankly, dominated us each year that we played him. So I'm glad he's gone. But look, and I think 2022, we actually did pretty good against. So 2021, though, he tore us up. 2023, he tore us up. Still. I'm really excited for all three of these young men, that they are all first round locks, and they're pretty much first half of the first round locks. So yeah, it's fascinating. It's also fascinating to see how much the national NFL draft community has grown on all three of these prospects. So I'd say roughly 3 months ago, hardly anyone outside of yours truly was saying Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison. 3 months ago, hardly anyone was saying Jaden Daniels over Drake May. But now you have ESPN personality Dan Orlovsky saying Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams, which isn't going to happen, but still. And now Brian Thomas Jr. A lot of people had him going to the Chiefs, the Bills at the end of the first round. Now I've seen him in the top 10, potentially to the Jets, who need another wide receiver. So yeah, it's going to be fascinating, even though I don't know if they need wide receiver. They got Mike Williams and Garrett Wilson, but we'll see. Now, obviously, there's not a whole lot going on in terms of LSU spring football. They did pick up a defensive tackle yesterday. We've done a few live streams and a film study on Gio Paez. We'll move on. But if I get a super chat and want to discuss that a little bit more, I am more than happy to do that as well. But as far as the recruiting front, we're still waiting on the young man from Arkansas, Carius Kern, to verbally officially flip to LSU from Arkansas. So we'll see when that happens. Obviously, LSU is doing a lot of work for the 2026s as well. So recruiting, obviously, for LSU is doing really well on the football front. I do want to touch on baseball and women's basketball. So let's make one thing crystal clear. LSU women's basketball tips off at noon on Saturday. We will be live directly at the end of that game. Let me repeat. We will be live, as we will for every single LSU women's basketball March Madness game, directly after LSU and UCLA on Saturday. So be ready for that. Do I think LSU will win on Saturday? I do. It is destiny that it's LSU and Iowa in the rematch to go to the Final Four. Could we play Colorado, who beat us to start the season? We could. There's a piece of me that kind of prefers playing Iowa, not only for storylines, but also for matchup reasons. You got to remember, that was LSU at full strength versus Colorado. Now we're a different team. We're not as deep as we were versus Colorado. So Can we actually get it done versus UCLA? I believe so. It's going to be tough. And then whatever happens versus Iowa is what's going to happen versus Iowa. So, like I said earlier this week, you know, anything less than a championship will not satisfy LSU fans. I totally get it. That is a new standard at LSU. But we didn't know that two key players, one hurt, one off the team. We also didn't know that everything wouldn't go as smoothly as far as we thought when it comes to the chemistry of the new transfers. HVL is not the star, but she's still pretty good. And Mora, of course, is a superstar. Flage has played a lot better than I think most would have expected. It's just still going to be so hard to win both of these games in Albany. But I think we'll get it done. Why not? Let's do it again. Caitlin Clark is not ready for us. She's ready to go cash that big three check. So we'll see what happens. And then as far as LSU baseball is concerned, if they lose this series to Arkansas, is the season cooked? I'm not going to say that. Your super regional hopes might be cooked if you lose this series to Arkansas. But you could still end up hosting a regional and be a top 16 in the 16 team in the country when we actually get to that point in the season. I think they still could, even if they lose this series. I will say sweep avoidance would be very nice. Arkansas is the number one team in the country for a reason. Dave Van Horn's been the best coach in the SEC for a long time now. He's just missing that national championship. I just don't know. Once women's basketball ends, I'll probably sit down and watch more LSU baseball. I just think the season is so long, and I think they'll be okay. But I will be watching tonight, 6 p.m. first pitch. But Hagen Smith apparently is the real deal. Okay. So we'll see what happens. Now, as always, this chat is about you. It's all about you. LD88, not only a patron, he also mails me a donation. I really appreciate you, LD88. So you pick the next topic. Go right ahead. I got your letter today. I really appreciate the kind words. Feel free to send at any moment. Those messages uplift me in a great way. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. You know, I'll say this about LSU football, and we've really broken down all the different position groups. We've talked a lot about the NFL draft this week. The NFL draft is probably my favorite non-sports thing that we have in our society. I freaking love the NFL draft. I really, really, really do. There is one thing that I want to touch on, okay? How many teams on LSU's schedule next year is bad? How many bad teams do we have? All right. Teams that I think will not be any good at all. Now, this can always be a very dangerous topic. But I do feel when I look at this LSU schedule, there are two teams, Power Five teams, that I think will be bad. Vanderbilt is one of them. And that game comes at a very opportune time on the schedule. Saturday, November 23rd, before we play Oklahoma. That game is at home, and it's the week after a road trip at Florida. I do think Vanderbilt is bad. That's not some kind of hot take, but I just don't think they're a good football team. The other team is Arkansas. I do a lot of Arkansas content on the SEC channel. If you are a Razorback fan, you should be very worried about your football team. Basketball, they got good news. Eric Musselman is back. Baseball, they're obviously great. They're good in other sports as well, but football just ain't it. I am still shocked that Sam Pittman's around. I think some of that is financial stuff, but I just don't think this team is going to be really that good. And that's a good thing because that's the first game of a back-to-back road game situation there for LSU. And I'm actually going to give you a third team, a third Power 5 team on this schedule I don't think will be any good next year. And that is UCLA. First-year head coach, running backs coach, coming over from the NFL. He played at UCLA. This just feels like a brutal rebuild ahead of UCLA as they move into the Big Ten. A head coach who's never coached before as a head coach at any level. Coach Foster, I believe. I just think they're going to be bad. And there are also some other teams on here, I think, that could be very overvalued. Florida on the road. I think Florida has the opportunity to be so beaten down and broken and withered where they have another losing record and they might have a lame duck coach by the time we play them, or a fired coach or an interim coach. You look historically, LSU has played quite a few interim coaches over the years. So that could be the case. Texas A&M, first year of a turnaround. I do like Connor Wigman. I do like their offensive coordinator hire in Colin Klein. But still, a first-year head coach. Very interesting roster situation there. And then you have South Carolina. Because we're going on the road, I give South Carolina a little bit more credence, if you will, in terms of them potentially being good. This would be our second game on the road in 3 weeks. So that could be tough. But South Carolina, new quarterback situation. Will Lenore Sellers be their guy next year? Will they go to a transfer? I don't know. But South Carolina's offensive and defensive lines last year were bad. It's tough in the SEC to win in the trenches. If you don't have good trench play, South Carolina just doesn't really have that, if you ask me. I think they have the propensity to not be good next year. How about that? So, I say all of this because when you look at the 2025 schedule, I think it's way harder. You also have to factor in the road game at Clemson. Our road schedule gets far more tricky. Oklahoma will be the final week of the year. Alabama will also be in November. That's tough. That's very, very, very tough. So 2024 might be our year, but 2025 also sets up pretty nicely. And, you know, when I go through and I do a schedule audit for each team, I try my best to look at it as objectively as I possibly can, while at the same time, look at it and see how those games actually stack up. Are you playing a back-to-back road game? Are you in a situation where you could be going up against an interim coach by the end of the season? Florida could be done with Billy Napier by the time we play him next year. I know so much of our focus is on us, and it should be. It should be on us. It should be on our defense. It should be on, you know, brand new coaching staff and some offensive question marks, new full-time offensive coordinator. relatively thin running back room. Not the absolute most slam dunk backup quarterback situation. You need other receivers to step up. I mean, there's still some questions there. And then on special teams, you're replacing a punter and all that stuff. You guys know all that. But I'll tell you, LSU's definitely got a higher floor than a lot of those teams I just mentioned. And just by looking at how some offseason things trickled in LSU's favor, I keep looking at that 2024 schedule and saying, we should be going to the playoff, especially if we beat USC in week one. South Carolina, you could have a situation where Shane Beamer is already looking at the next job. So I think we're cooking. I really, really, really do. Let's go to LD88. This is a super chat question. Thank you so much. If baseball doesn't get past the regional, will fans think highly paid Jay Johnson and staff won last year because of Cruz, Skeens, and Manieri's leftover talent? Okay. The answer to that is no, for a few reasons. The first thing is, well, Jay Johnson took Arizona to the College World Series. So he was a good coach before he got to LSU. And yes, it is true that Morgan and Dylan Cruz were Paul Manieri guys, Beloso and those guys. But Paul Skeens was obviously Jay Johnson. That was his recruiting. Not just his recruiting, but the staff. Wes Johnson, who's obviously at Georgia now, but it was a staff that got the job done. I think every College World Series you win involves a lot of luck, right? You know, Skip Berman is the best baseball coach ever at the collegiate level. It's either him or Augie Garrido. It's either one of those two. Maybe there's someone else. I'm not Chris Burke or anyone like that. So, or Ben McDonald, but Ben McDonald will tell you Paul Manier, Skip Berman's the best of all time. So I guess Carl Ravitch or Kyle Peterson would be the better person, or Kendall Rogers would be the better person to tell you who's the best college baseball coach of all time. But I say all of that because Skip Berman was very lucky to win a couple of those World Series, right? Yet Warren Morris, if Warren Morris never happened, I think we would remember like the Brad Cressy play. Because of Warren Morris, you know, walk-off home run to win the World Series, it's always going to be the big thing. And then the statue outside of Rosenblatt and all that stuff. But the Brad Cressy hit, that series, that game was so insane, right? And it's still crazy to me. Like, Brad Cressy just lives in Baton Rouge and has a successful baseball, facility. I'm telling you, I would, like, little boy freak out over meeting Brad Cressy over if I met, like, sat down with, like, Jaden Daniels. Obviously, I love Jaden Daniels probably more than Brad Cressy, but little me, Brad Cressy, I idolized number 22 for LSU. Idolized that dude. But you need luck to win College World Series. Jay Johnson's in it for the long haul. Let's say we don't get past a regional, or if we don't host a regional. The next year, obviously, we would need to host a regional for us to feel really comfortable with Jay Johnson and the future of the program. But the first thing is he's recruiting at an extremely high level, and he's recruiting at an extremely high work rate. He's getting after it. Every interview he does, he's recruiting. So even though he won this one national championship and is immortalized in LSU lore, it is also one of those things, though, where, like, three of the last four LSU baseball coaches have won the College World Series. Same thing with LSU football. Three of the last four LSU football coaches have won a national championship. You're really remembered if you can get two, right? You already got that first. And I think Jay Johnson has this Nick Saban quality where he wants to win as many as he possibly can. He is a process-oriented guy. He's not a big, boisterous personality. That doesn't mean he's not interesting, but he's about his job. He's about business. And I think LSU fans sees his vision. So, yes, it is true that there are a lot of coaches that would have won the World Series with the roster that he had last year. It was probably one of the best LSU rosters in any sport. You know, when you have 1-2 in the MLB draft, it's something. But I think Jay Johnson will be here at least another decade. I would put, if you were to ask, hey, Carter, you bet Jay Johnson to coach 10 more seasons at LSU, I would pick the over. I think he's going to be I think he's going to be locked in. Everybody, welcome you to Harrington's and his first ever conversation with me is a dude. Now, let me ask YouTube Harrington's this question. Greg, what's up, man? Good to have you back. Yeah, we switched things up, man. Greg in Alabama, good to see you. Let me ask YouTube Harrington's this question. Let's just say you walk up to someone you've never met this person before. You never met him before. And you walk up to him and you say, dude, how would that make you feel? Fogged up to you and said, dude. It's kind of abrasive. I don't really care. But let me answer your question. YouTube Harrington says that is not a real pick. Google search AI images and you'll find poorly rendered anatomy abounds. And then he said, Sherm, I'm guessing you mean Sherman Wilson. Sherman Wilson's actually retweeted me quite a bit. He said he even tweeted and said it was Photoshop. It is a bizarre image. I cannot with a gazillion percent certainty say it's real or not real. Images get Photoshopped, AI'd, and all that stuff. It looks very real. Ian Rappaport of NFL.com was actually the first to tweet it out. So probably the most well-respected reporter on NFL media. And yeah, so I don't know if it's real or not. But if you missed the chatter at the beginning, I basically said it's not a big deal. I've actually had it explained to me by a different doctor off of social media what was actually going on there. So whatever the case may be, Jaden is healthy. That photo has been sent to me so many times over the past 24 hours. So there you go. But welcome, YouTube Harrington's dude. I don't know why. It just seems like, dude, what's that? Dead? Dude. Greg, it's good to see you. I appreciate the backdrop. I like it. I kind of want to mix some things up here as well with some signage. Todd, what's up? He says, besides Adam Schefter, I said NFL media, so like NFL.com. But if you think Adam Schefter is a top insider, that's fine as well. Short draw whitetail, good to see you. Hey, everyone, long time no see. Hope everyone's doing well.
Okay. As you can see, my wife is home. All right, everybody.
Sissy hasn't been on here in a while. Let me see Sissy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's coming in too hot.
Well, because I just got home.
Oh, she got my face good.
She Carter, good she t- did not.
She had...
Are you bleeding? You're not bleeding, baby. She just nicked you.
Bye, sis.
Don't tell her bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Stylebender. But yeah, Schefter, I've met Schefter before.
I like him. Is this dirty? Are these dirty?
No.
Yes, they are. Love you.
Love you too. How old's a pup?
She is coming up on... She's coming up on 3 years, actually.
3 years. That's absolutely crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Now,
here's what you're going to do.
I would like to end this before
LSU baseball.
In the next 5 to 10, or let's do 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. But if you do super chat, we'll keep it going. I'll tweet the first inning, or I'll YouTube the first inning. I guess YouTube Harrington's left.
That's okay. Dude, what's up, dude? Are you make signs? Okay. I need some new signage.
It's kind of crazy because, like, if you are new, I used to have just a bunch of memorabilia back here. I'm just switching it up. I like the backlighting. I think it looks cool. I don't know. I don't know what I want my... I might be moving this painting, like, out of the shot.
From my guy, Jamar Simeon.
I might move it somewhere over here.
Just hit me with the truth. Yeah, my cat, let me think about what kind of sign I want. Ooh, Tony is interested in Keon Coleman for the Saints.
I think Brian Thomas Jr. will be for sure the fourth wide receiver taken. So BTJ might be available for the Saints. Do the Saints take him?
I don't know if I'm on fire about the Saints going wide receiver in the first round. I'm not sure if I'm on fire about that. I think there are other issues. Like, if this Ryan Ramczyk situation, if he's still banged up, I don't mind Saints going offensive line. And I understand. Offensive line in the first round is not the funnest, sexiest thing, but Ramczyk was a first-round pick. McCoy was a first-round pick. There's also been some offensive linemen that were first-round picks that weren't really what you would expect it to be. Cesar Ruiz, Pete. Those guys weren't bad, per se, but they were okay, I guess you could say.
So, yeah, I guess for me, I guess offensive tackle for the Saints would be fine.
But, oh, yeah, Penning.
Trevor Penning was a first-round pick.
LD88, I'm going to go LSU wins today 5-3. That is my score prediction.
So with this NIL thing, an athlete can cash in his first year, transfer his second, and so on, like a business. That sucks. What's my take? It's not their fault. It is not their fault. Okay. You would be shocked if you were in that spot, how many times you would do it, even if it's not the best thing for you. Right. So we had an athlete, Xavier Atkins, on our show a few weeks ago, and he talked about the jumping around thing. Something else that's very interesting is a guy that we actually just brought in did an interview where they actually complimented him not jumping around at Wisconsin. He waited his turn to play at Wisconsin, Gio Paez, and then he still eventually jumped to a new school, and it kind of made sense. You know, you've played college football for 5 years. Why not try something new? Okay. You know, I really do think it's more so on the NCAA. Is what happened with this Alabama offensive tackle who transferred to Iowa and then transferred back to Alabama, Caden Proctor, is that good for the sport? No, that's actually a really crappy thing to do, and I don't care if you're 18. I don't care if you're young. You don't do that. You don't jump to one school, which is a home state school, take a bag, and then allegedly go back to Alabama. Now, if he paid it back, sure, I guess that's a little bit more morally responsible. But it is on the NCAA to fix the sport, put guardrails on this, and say that you can't flip-flop every spring cycle. Can't do that. You shouldn't do that. But they did do that. Caden Proctor did do that. So, yes, in theory, you can take an NIL deal, bag it, and then go back to your original school. You could do it. But if you are not an employee and there aren't collectively bargained rules and structures in your sporting system, then the lawmakers are always going to side with the athletes. It was on the NCAA. 80% of all the crap they're wearing right now is on the NCAA. It just is. All right, LA Mom. Alabama, I really appreciate your Venmos over the past week. Big help. Emory Jones and Will Campbell will be first rounders in 2025. Yeah, I would say yes, they will. It's hard to be a first round pick. There's only 32 of them. Sometimes only 31. But offensive tackles, along with quarterbacks, receivers, and pass rushers, are the most picked players in first rounds. It's not a good quarterback class next year. So the value of an offensive tackle moves up, right? There was once a player by the name of Eric Fisher who went to the Kansas City Chiefs, was a first overall pick. He wasn't that great, but there weren't any good quarterbacks. So outside of quarterbacks, teams value the offensive tackle or a pass rusher, either one of those two. I don't think there's ever been a wide receiver that's gone number one overall. So could we see a world where Will Campbell or Emory Jones is the number one overall pick next year? You could. It is very well within the realm of possibility in a weak quarterback class. It could happen. Obviously, Will Campbell has a lot more hype than Emory Jones. I could see Emory Jones being a higher pick, though. I can, because he is just so unbelievably gifted. And I think both of them could kick in and play guard early on if need be. So There you go. Dellinger, it's a stretch. Guards just don't get picked in the first round all too often. I think you'll see like one offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, get picked in the first round. This year, the young man out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson. So there you go. Besides to Danny Girl, we've not actually updated the poll question. What's up, Danny? Good to see you. 77% of you say Jaden Daniels is the best player in the draft. I would say no. I think it's Malik Nabers. So Keyshawn Johnson and Irving Fryer were number one overall picks. Very interesting. Amicat brings up a very good trivia question. When was the last first-round offensive lineman selected at LSU? The answer is actually 1998. Alan Faneca. So it's been that long. Now think about it. LSU's had every other position go in the first round. Actually, multiples of pretty much every other position go in the first round. But zero offensive linemen since 98. Think about all the ends. Think about multiple ends in the top 10. About to have multiple quarterbacks in the top 10. A ton of receivers in the top 10. A running back in the top 10. And a ton of running backs in round two. Two running backs in the first round, multiple running backs in round two. But no offensive linemen since 98. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And you want to change that. You really do. Some of the most important players on your team. Let's see. Doing all this off the top of my head. I don't know how many times you'll see a safety go in the top 10 anymore. Safeties are kind of devalued in the modern NFL. You saw a lot of free agent safeties go by the wayside. Jamal Adams was one of the last safeties to really get a fat, fat, fat check. And a lot of safeties still do get paid, but a lot of really good all-pro level safeties were let go. We had a ton of safeties going in the first round. Jamal Adams was top 10. Ron Landry was top 10. Eric Reed was top 20. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So, it is crazy. But Will Campbell and Emory Jones will hopefully break that streak next year. Now, the truth is, Lyle Collins would have broken that streak. And what happened, and I still don't know that whole story. But that's the only reason he didn't go first round. And obviously, Lyle Collins has been a very good pro. But it cost him. Now, let's see. New York Giants? Could Jaden Daniels go to the New York Giants? Is a question I got on Twitter from David. I I don't think so. I think McCarthy would have a better chance going there. But I could see it. I could. We know for sure the Cardinals won't take Jaden. But Stingley was third overall.
Texans chose Stingley over Sauce Gardner.
And it's worked out for both parties. I actually thought Sauce Gardner was the better pro prospect, but that was mostly because of health. But yeah, I think Malik Nabers is just
unreal when it comes to being an NFL draft prospect. Unreal. So
there you go. Now, I appreciate each and every one of you.
LSU baseball tonight. I will be chatting in the Discord during the baseball game tonight. I'm really excited to see it. It's rare. You get these big SEC games, two historically great programs of the modern era. Arkansas number one, LSU baseball, just depending on which poll you look at, still in the top 10, I believe. Should be a fun series. I am predicting LSU to win game one, 5-3. I think Arkansas will win game two, 7-2. And then LSU will win game three, 4-3. So we got a lower scoring weekend in Bomb Walker. So 5-3, Arkansas wins game two, 7-2. Then we win game three, 4-3. Mark it down. Do a trifecta exacta box if you could horse race bet this.
Huh?
We're getting the dub tonight. Hagan Smith doesn't know what's going to hit him. Hayden Travinsky's going to hit him.
Let's go.
Hey! Power Hour, LSU, boom.
And tonight, we are doing, barbecue chicken. Let's go. Let's go. Huh?